This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 17th pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to
preview the prospect
are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
And we're all here again today. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly for another Patriots Draft Prospect Review Podcast where we
preview.
Thank you, Paul. The prospects for the upcoming NFL draft, and we get the look from Andy Hart, the look of disgust.
It's because he's not talking.
Nah, he will be. He'll be talking plenty, he'll be talking fast, and he'll be talking often.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee that. Next week. As we talk about the...
Why next week?
Because it's linebackers next week, and he's going to talk about Quinn for 45 minutes and then maybe take a breath.
I just figured he'd inject something about Jordan Todman into this.
Well, give it time. We're barely through
comments.
The intro here, Paul. But today we're going to talk about defensive line, the tackles, the ends. Another area where we're just a couple of weeks away from the draft now, and we're very close to the top needs of the Patriots in this year's draft. And defensive line, I think, is among them, just given the state of injury that the team went through at the end of last year. Signing guys off the street who ended up becoming starters the same week they were signed. And
sure.
We all know that story. And there are a lot of interesting players. I don't know if necessarily impact is the right word, but there are a lot of interesting players who could potentially end up in a Patriots uniform. Let's start with the ends, because I think there are more of them to talk about there, and then we'll move our way inside. Obviously, guys like Robert Quinn, who Andy has been in love with since last year, is one of those tweeners who is more likely to be an outside linebacker. We'll probably talk more about him next week.
Certainly for the Patriots.
For the Patriots, at least, yes. But you've got other guys like Daquan Bowers, Adrian Claiborne, Cameron Jordan. Alden Smith's another one of those tweeners who could be an outside linebacker in this system. Cameron Hayward, who could be a tackle or an end, depending on which team takes him. J.J. Watt's a name we've heard a lot about. Those are typically the names that we've been hearing about, at least in the first round, going anywhere from the top few picks to the bottom of the round. Who do we like among this group, guys? Who stood out to you as we watched tape over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think we should start off just with Bowers real quick because of the injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a guy that was talked about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yeah, we were talking about this morning.
Number one overall pick. Now, you know, there's mock drafts with him going in the 20s. Now there are reports coming out. Some teams believe might not make it through his rookie season, might have to have microfracture surgery on the knee. Is just a plummeting prospect due to the injury concerns,
yeah.
Basically. And the fact that he was kind of a one-year wonder. I think he had 4 sacks up until last year where he had 15. But, I mean, he's a big guy with athletic ability, talent, who's clearly getting hurt through this process and the injury questions and the pro day when he was
mm-hmm.
healthy but didn't run well.
Yeah, didn't
all
have
that.
A good pro day at all.
But he, you know, he's not a Patriot. He is a 4-3 defensive end. He's not a guy, despite somewhat measurables that look like could he maybe be an outside linebacker, just isn't. Just as a straight ahead, hand in the dirt type of player.
Yep.
In terms of guys, potential Patriots, I think the first guy you talk about, or the two guys you talk about early, are Cameron Jordan and J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I agree.
Cameron Jordan is very intriguing, was a 5-technique defensive end at Cal in the 3-4, so that gives him a little bit of a leg up there. Is more of a run player than a pass player, is a good athlete.
At this point, anyway.
But, yeah, certainly doesn't look like he's going to be, I personally don't think ever he'd be an elite pass rusher. He might be productive. He might be Jarvis Green. He might be Mike Wright. He might be one of those guys where at the end of the year you say he has 6.5, 7 sacks.
But you don't want to invest a first-round pick in a guy like that.
But,
what you're saying.
Well, not necessarily, or if I did, I'm not expecting him to be the difference in my pass rush. I guess that's what I'm saying if I draft Cameron Jordan. And my other question about him, you know, a lot of these guys that I say look like 3-4 ends, the one question I have with all of them is strength, power, ability to hold up, size. You know, because some of them, you know, Jordan's a 285 type guy, maybe 290.
Right.
You know, that's a concern because Richard Seymour and a lot of these guys play that position at 310, 315.
Yeah, right.
And we've seen a guy here personally, I'll bring him up again, Mike Wright, who's proven he can't hold up. He cannot play 3-4 every down defensive end at 295, 298, whatever it is that
and
he
weighs
in.
And sometimes they even throw him in the middle at the
right.
nose.
And it's just proof that as good as you are, as high a motor as you have, as much as you try and all that, you need to have the girth. You need to be able to stand up to the 330-pound tackle that's trying to block you. And I have that question about him. I have that question about Cam Hayward. I have that question about J.J. Watt. And these are all guys that are projected as first round, early second round picks, 2, 3, 4 teams to play that five technique end.
Yeah, and they're all, you know, you'd like to see them up around 310.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are all 285 to 295.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I would think you'd be able to put a little bit more on them in terms of bulk, but you do wonder about what that does to the overall skill set. You know, does it make him the same player? A guy that I'm interested in listening to you guys' thoughts on is Muhammad Wilkerson.
Uh-huh. Love him. I like him a lot.
I think he's a candidate for a 3-4.
Oh, he's a 3-4 end. Yeah.
And
there's no doubt.
I think that there's nothing that admittedly, I'm watching a tape of highlights.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I saw nothing that he didn't do well.
And he has the size immediately.
Absolutely.
He's a 6'5", 305 type guy. He's already bigger.
I liked him a lot, and I thought that if they were going to get him, because based on some of the mock drafts I've seen, they're going to have to stay put at 28. 17 might be a little high
for him
to
probably.
Take him. So you might want to go for a true outside linebacker or a pass rush specialist. But if they still have that pick at 28, Paul, I would very much like to see Muhammad Wilkerson be the guy.
Now, but even him, I thought, played more athletically than powerfully.
No question.
And I think he's a guy that will have to develop strength, even though he has a better frame, maybe a better starting point than some of these other guys, a 20-pound head start.
Yeah.
I think he has to prove he can two-gap. He can just hold up. He can just create a pile on the end of the line of scrimmage there rather than making plays on the move, because that's what I think he is. And that's why I think he jumps off tape, because you see this guy who is, you know, a big guy moving pretty well athletically, and you say, wow, I think he could be great. I think he could be an elite NFL player if he develops that power and that two-gapping ability.
Yeah, now a lot of the stuff that we've seen lately, he was tied a little bit toward the Patriots at various stages of the process. Lately, all the mock drafts that we're, you know, the one that we conducted with the writers, the one that we conducted for ourselves, he tends to be going in that mid-20 range before it gets to the Patriots.
Well, he was a Mayock guy at the Combine. He was raving about him. He said, a guy I think that's really going to rise through this process that not a lot of people are talking about was Wilkerson. And
you're going to laugh at me for this, too, but he was number 9 at Temple.
As a defensive lineman.
Which means
lineman.
That he came there with the athleticism to do something else.
Right.
And I am very intrigued by those kinds of players.
And they threw to him on a fake punt on our highlight film, which he bobbled 7 times before catching.
I know that, but I'm just
talking about. And then celebrated instantly when he just
got knocked out of bounds, and I wasn't quite sure he got the first down.
I don't think so, but he was.
I can't imagine what they needed for the first down on that play that he actually got it, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I know it sounds like a silly thing, but when you see, you know, like Gerard Mayo, I believe, was number 7, if I recall.
I think you're right.
Generally, that means that there was something else in mind for when the guy got to college. They just said, this is a real good athlete, and we don't know exactly how we're going to use him yet. Or maybe he develops into something that they didn't really necessarily foresee him as immediately. I'm intrigued by those kinds of guys, and I liked his tape.
Yeah, I think he could be great. He's a little bit developmental in my mind, but I think he has a big upside.
My fears about J.J. Watt, who's another name that we've seen tied to the Patriots in mock drafts, are still there only because of the lack of experience. Mm-hmm. He's had the 1 year of true big-time Division I football as a defender. He played tight end at, Central Michigan before transferring.
Western, Northern, I don't know.
played on the scout team his first year at Wisconsin. Had one of these one-year wonder guys. He could be great, but I just have my doubts about him.
I also have my doubts about what his ceiling is. You know, I'm not sure his ceiling, and everybody around here, Richard Seymour is the ceiling. That's the guy you're going to be compared to, not just because of the draft pick that could be used on J.J. Watt at 17, which came in the Richard Seymour trade, but he was the measuring stick, and we've heard John Gruden talk about it on draft days, comparing some of the high picks. Richard Seymour is the five-technique measuring stick that you're going to be compared to in the NFL as a 3-4 defensive end. I just don't see J.J. Watt being that.
Athletically, I see Wilkerson.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of ceiling.
Well, his ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's ready to come in and do it.
And again, you would, I think you used the word, refined and raw. You know, he's going to have to be developed. I agree with all of that. He's not going to be Richard Seymour as what Richard Seymour was in 2001 as a rookie. He's not going to come in and be that guy. But athletically, I saw a lot of Richard Seymour traits.
Okay, and a couple of other names as we slide into the middle and later rounds before we move on to the tackles. Guys like Jabal Sheard from Pittsburgh, Alan Bailey from Miami, who reportedly had a visit with the Patriots, or at least a workout. Christian Ballard from Iowa. Sam Acho is one of those tweener outside linebacker guys. Greg Romeus, another one from Pittsburgh. Ricky Elmore from Arizona, another name we've heard a little bit tied in with New England. Any thoughts on those guys from the tape that we've seen?
Didn't really love any of them. Thought a lot of them were undersized. A name you actually didn't mention that I really liked as a developmental guy. NFLDraftScout.com has him as a 5th, 6th round pick. Was Brandon Baer out of Oregon. He tall, lanky. Only like 276 right now. Is not a linebacker. Is definitely a defensive lineman.
Very instinctive
player.
But
if he can put on 20 pounds, he's a guy that I think could be very good. He's a 4'9 type 40 guy.
He's about 275
a playmaker,
right now.
A developmental guy, a pure guy where I'd like to say either on the roster, on the practice squad, I'd like to see him try to develop because I think he, like Wilkerson, different level, but has an upside that's impressive.
Yeah. Most of those guys that I think you mentioned, to me, can't really play end in a 3-4. They're outside linebackers. Yeah. The one guy I know we're going to talk about the outside linebackers next week. The one guy who I didn't really know much about, who I did like in that kind of role, was Sheard from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Just because of I know the story about how raw he is. He hasn't played a whole lot of football, and all he basically can do is rush the passer. Well,
that's what they're looking for.
I'm kind of looking for that.
Yeah.
So he was kind of intriguing to me, but not if he's going to be a first-round pick, which some people think he may be at this stage. I'm not interested in taking a one-trick pony that high.
Okay, well, a couple of surefire first-round picks from what we've seen so far in this offseason. Nick Fairley, Auburn tackle, Marcell Dareus, Alabama, the two SEC studs. Didn't really do much on tape to dissuade me from thinking that they're going to be first-round picks. The only thing I didn't really like about Fairley is his style of play. He's got that cheap shot artist streak
with it.
In him. That doesn't surprise me either.
Add him to the list.
He tries to hurt people, that's clear. But he
fit in.
Crosses that line. But
he'll fit right in.
I don't think it'll hurt him all that much in the NFL.
Imagine what him and Mankins would do at practice?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He tries to drive the quarterback into the ground. He tries to inflict pain upon running backs when he hits them.
He picks ball carriers up and throws them down constantly.
Yes.
Which is going to be a penalty constantly in the NFL.
He picks things up and put things down?
I think you can rein that in a little.
And put them down.
I think the fire behind that type of play is what you need to compete in the NFL.
I just worry if he'll be able to rein that in, or if a coach or coaching staff will be able to.
He's not that dumb.
Well,
now out of these defensive
not James
tackles,
Harrison.
Out of these defensive tackles that were interior players in college,
sure.
Are there any that you think, we talked about Wilkerson? Are there any that you think that could play end in the Patriots scheme? Beyond the guys that are going to be out of the Patriots' reach.
Well, it's funny. Phil Taylor out of Baylor
is
a guy that everybody says is a nose tackle, is going to be a nose tackle
Big
in the
body.
NFL. I think he could be an end in the Patriots system.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, boy.
If that guy weighs 340 pounds.
You weigh 600?
Vince Wilfork is tipping four bills.
Yeah.
Because he did not look like a 340-pound guy to me.
No, nope. Certainly didn't move around like one either.
Nope. He was impressive. He has some issues off the field, some questions, a transfer and fight and
He was
stuff.
A Penn State, originally a Penn
These
State.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Got into a fight with
his teammate.
Supposedly
has matured a little bit and learned from the experience and the process and all
Very
that.
Very impressive on tape.
I like his run-stuffing ability.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think has a chance. A guy we didn't have tape on and everybody likes to talk about is Marvin Austin. Who has impressed some during this process, obviously after being suspended last year with Quinn and the rest of them from North Carolina through that scandal, agent scandal.
A couple of other names I think we should just at least mention. Corey Legit from Illinois being mentioned more and more as a late first-round pick. I don't necessarily think he's in the Patriots' plans, but you can never be sure with this team.
Him.
Another name we should just mention because of what he did at the Combine, Stephen Pia from Oregon State, set the bench record with 49 at 225. Again, I think he's a raw talent. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there. I'm not sure he's a Patriot, given what he can do at this point.
Well, I think he'd be a nose tackle, obviously,
I think he
could
be a nose tackle.
Some people think he is the best nose tackle. He definitely plays with some power. He's not one of those guys where he's just a weight room bench press wonder.
It showed up on tape.
And you know why? Because he's one of my guys.
He's a Samoan or a Tongan.
He's a Samoan or a Tongan. I know they don't like me to throw it out there like it's interchangeable, but football-wise, it kind of is to me. Those guys I love on my defensive line. I'll take as many of them as I can get.
I thought he looked like a guy that was very comfortable playing inside, occupying blockers in space.
And comfortable just grabbing hold of a lineman,
and tossing
shaking
him around
a little bit, finding the ball, throwing him out of the way, and going to the ball.
Yeah, I thought he was a guy that his toughness showed up on tape, and that's what you need to do to play that position. And there were, I thought Drake Nevis was a guy that looked like he could play
LSU.
Nose tackle as well
from
LSU. I don't think that's necessarily a position that they're going to want to draft that high, you know, with Vince Wilfork here and locked up to a big money deal. But just guys that I thought showed up athletically.
Another one of Andy's Polynesian favorites, Sione Fua from Stanford, definitely played in a 3-4 system, had a strong base. I thought he was a possibility for Patriots.
Now, that would be more
later
along
round.
The lines of where they might take, you know, fourth, fifth round guy.
Right. And love him.
You know, that would be more along the lines of where they would take a guy.
I see what you did there. A guy that we should just mention in terms of the ties to the Patriots connection, Bill Belichick attended Terrell McClain's pro day at South Florida and reportedly spent a little time with him. He's definitely a nose tackle type. I thought he was more athletic than I expected when I read his stuff. And a guy
big hitter, the llama.
4.9, 4.8, pro day 40. Which certainly, I don't think Vince Wilfork's running a 4.8 in the 40 anytime any soon. So. Athletically, he doesn't seem to be quite.
Though.
What?
He could play shortstop, though. That's what he tells us.
Oh, that's true. But he has also risen up in this process because he was very successful. I didn't see it, but a lot of rave reports out of both the East-West and the Senior Bowl where he replaced Pia after he got hurt in practice. Rave reviews from the scouts and coaches in attendance there. So he's a riser as a nose tackle.
One last name from a small school before we wrap up this podcast. Cedric Thornton, Southern Arkansas. Curious on your thoughts on him. About 6'4", close to the 300 mark.
I would say that, you know, Andy and I talk about the smaller school guys that if they have a chance that you have to show domination.
Yeah.
He showed domination.
Yeah, that's kind of
I don't know what kind of level he played at. I don't know how good that level. I don't know anything about Southern Arkansas. But when you
they're
watch,
not in the CAA,
and it was, no, not a CAA, so they're not in the they're not the SEC of 1AA.
All right. You know, we're getting that look from Andy.
It was
that
also
bad taste, Paul's leaving in my mouth.
It was also film worthy of that level. I mean, it was kind of
a little grainy. It was
grainy
far away
from the back end zone. It was hard to see exactly how he got
off
blocks.
Had to pinpoint where he was, but
it was hard to find him. But he made several eye poppingly athletic plays. He's got a lot of. I mean, 6'4", 295.
He looked like he played faster than his 40 time.
I thought he looked fast,
very
too.
Tenacious,
very,
tough to
very
block.
Very physical, but again, I don't know how much of that is based on who he's playing around.
Can and again, we're talking
can he
sleeper.
Throw guys around at another level? Yeah. He's projected to be one of those day three guys, and you know, who knows? Maybe the Patriots take a run at a guy
yeah,
like
that. That's we're just looking for, because there's always a name or two that surprise.
I would be surprised by a guy like that because it would be hard to imagine that he would have much technique and two-gapping experience playing at a level that, you know, at that kind of a level. So I think that would be more of a long shot.
Yep. Jarvis Jenkins, Clemson. Just want to throw him out there.
Okay.
Developmental defensive end, mid-round pick.
I like Jarvis Jenkins.
All right, well, we've basically come to the apex of our off-season draft reviews. Next week, we're going to culminate it with the outside linebacker, pass rush specialist.
Quinning.
We'll talk inside linebackers too, but outside linebacker is going to be the main point. So you're not going to want to miss that. That's going to be next week's podcast on the Draft Prospect Review. Till then, have a good time.
Peace out.
Hi, this is Troy Brown. Download the podcast now. Bingo!